You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Dusty, tell me you're recording already.
I hit record.
Good, because that's our cold open right there.
How about the cold open is like just like little snippets of us saying things and just Brian saying, cold open. Cold open.
Actually, that would be like a decent cold open at some point, is just compiling all the times Brian has said that since he started recording and splice them all together. That's just, you know what? No, that's not the open. That's a mini episode. It's like 25 minutes of just Brian saying it over and over again.
There's your cold open.
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian, it's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian, tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation, and more knowledge, and more fun facts about...
Did you just promise
tonight
that we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another victory edition of Pack to the Future podcast. As always, I am your host, John Jameson, and joining me tonight, we got the boys, Brian, Dusty, Jordan.
Yep.
They're all here today, and we are coming off a win for the ages. And gentlemen, without further ado, the pack is back. 100%,
yeah,
we can say it. The pack is back. Come on now. Come on now.
Well, the pack is back.
The pack is back.
I ain't preaching to the freaking choir right now. I'm preaching to the whole universe right now. The Packers just went into Dallas and just continued their winning ways in magnificent style, magnificent fashion. Thank God we have number 12 as our quarterback, guys. Let me tell you that right off the bat.
Truth.
What a magic man. He is the real magic man. And before we dive too deep into this, guys, we're going to find out how you guys are doing. Brian, how are you doing?
You know, I was good until your introduction here where you said you're the host as always, because I'm pretty sure I had to fill in for you just a week ago, man.
By your choice. By your choice.
By my choice.
No one remembers that, Brian. No one remembers that.
By your choice. Because we could have recorded it a day later, and people would have had to not miss a week of me. And not saying that you didn't do an adequate job filling in for me, Brian. That's the best you can muster up. It was very adequate. It was very adequate. There is only one John. You have your strengths, Brian, but your adequacy. I am just messing.
My main you're strength always, is being almost great. As good as John Jameson.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been telling you that for years, Brian, haven't I?
You have.
And you're just starting to get the hint.
It's just finally clicking, you know.
Oh my gosh. Well, I know that I would get this question right, Brian. So I'm hoping that you might get close to it.
Oh boy.
But I have trivia. I always have the trivia.
All right,
and I need you to tell me, how many undrafted players are on this year's Packers roster?
Oof.
That's
seven.
A great question.
Seven undrafted players. Yeah. All right, your answer has been noted, and we are moving on to the next intellect in Dusty Evesley. Dusty, hello.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing, bud?
Hey,
how was breaking down walls last weekend?
It was great,
last
dude.
Week.
I actually, the wall I got to take out was like a half wall, so not only was it not load-bearing, there was also no electricity running through it, so I just got to take a sledgehammer to it. Well, like, I took a sledgehammer to it, and then it was really exciting, and then I was done with the sledgehammer for 5 minutes, and then it was like 6 hours of just like, just tediously tearing drywall off with my hands and ripping it up with a pry bar. So, like, it was really cool, and I felt really like a man for, like, a solid 5 minutes. And after that, it was hard work, and it wasn't as much fun as I thought it was going to be. But
were you just, like, looking at the sledgehammer, and, like, occasionally while you were, like, putting up drywall and, like, seeing other things in your house that you could, like, take the sludge to?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out trying to figure out what else I could do, and there was already a hole in one wall where someone punched a hole in a wall like the previous owners.
Just break the hole.
That seems like that'd be fun, but no, I didn't. Fun fact, guys. Fun fact. As we were tearing out another wall, found a bag of Oxy in there. Someone just had some Oxy in the bag.
Oh, my gosh.
Apparently used to sell pillows out of that house, so if you boys want anything, when I'm up in Green Bay in a couple weeks...
Renovated our bathroom once, and we found a dead squirrel in the wall.
Oh,
you couldn't smell it before you dug in?
Nope.
Huh.
Dusty, all I'm going to say is that if you got any ibuprofen hiding in those walls, hook me up, bud.
Don't you worry, brother. I got a whole bottle with your name on it, John.
Oh, okay. Dusty, how many undrafted players are on this year's Packers roster?
Oh, did Brian say 10?
He said seven.
Seven. I'm gonna go a little higher because I feel like there's more. I'm gonna go 11.
11 players.
Oh.
It's been noted. Right. And Jordan Peck. Hello. Hi, Jordan.
Hello, John. It's been a long 2 weeks. Really missed you last week, man.
Thank you. How was Brian to work with on a one-on-one basis? Well, I know Mr. Bloodline himself was there, but I mean you're pretty much working with Brian without us.
Yeah, we got through it. We got through it. We talked it out. It kind of started like the first half of the Bengals game, and then it ended like the second half of the Bengals game. So it went pretty well.
All right.
That's the nicest thing awesome. Jordan's ever said to me. Ever.
Your guys' relationship is the best thing I've seen in years. You guys have a strong, a thick relationship, I'll put it.
Truth.
Yes. Jordan, how many undrafted players are on this year's Packers roster?
Let's go a little bit lower. A little bit lower. Let's say, I'm going to go seven. No, I'm going to go six. I'm going to go six.
Six?
Yes.
So we have six, seven, and 11.
I may have jumped too high. I may have gone too high.
Dusty is the closest, and I tried to give it away in my intro with the particular number that I said. The answer is 12.
Oh, man.
12 undrafted rookies on this year's Packers roster. Congrats, TT, for having 12 undrafted players on your roster. Let's hope these 12 will lead us into the promised land, which is the Super Bowl. And with that being said, we are going to talk about, you know, what the road to the Super Bowl is like, and it starts with this week in Minnesota, right? So I have the amazing honor right now to take back the helms of the patented coin toss segment. And as I was telling Brian earlier in our pre-talk before the show, I am very excited to host it again because I feel like I am just ready to be just judicial as I always am. And we're gonna get things going right off the bat with Brian and Dusty for our first coin toss question. And that question is, Mr. Aaron Jones has come on hot in the past couple weeks. Should Ty Montgomery be worried? So going forward, who is going to be the Packers featured running back? Ty Montgomery or Aaron Jones? If the coin is heads, Brian, Ty Montgomery is the running back going forward. And the coin is tails. Aaron Jones is the running back for the Green Bay Packers.
He showed more as a pure runner in the last game and a half than I think Ty Montgomery has. I'm going to grant that Ty Montgomery is better in pass protection. I think he's a better pass-catching option, but Aaron Jones did also make a really impressive catch against the Cowboys on Sunday, so there is that. Just, I think Ty Montgomery would be a really good complimentary back to him, but we haven't seen somebody run the football like that, like he did on Sunday, in a while. So I'm fully on the Aaron Jones hype train. He's quick, he's fast, he showed great ball security. I watched him. I paid a little bit of attention to him as a pass protector, and he seemed to get the job done. I thought he did pretty well, so I don't really see a reason that he needs to be benched at this point. I think he's at least earned another game or two as the starter, and all of this might be moot because we don't know when Ty Montgomery's coming back anyway, so he may be by default the starter, but if he keeps playing like this until Ty Montgomery comes back, he's earned more time.
100%. Dusty, Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, I mean, the couple of reasons I think Ty Montgomery should still be consideration for number one when he's healthy. The first is, look, man, we went through training camp. We went through the whole offseason. And Aaron Jones was not only behind Montgomery, he was behind Jamal Williams. He was the number three back coming in. And there was a reason for that based on, you know, what was seen in practice. I want to say up front, I really like Aaron Jones. What he showed this past week was tremendous. But he went through, again, entire offseason, preseason, and he was number three on the depth chart. Now he had a really good game, and I like what he's shown so far. But I think based on the strength of that one game, I don't know that that's enough, seeing as how he was not necessarily buried on the depth chart, but not at the top of the depth chart with a whole lot more information on him going up to this point. The other thing is, so on this year, he's at 32 rushes. 32 rushes, and he has 5.4 yards per attempt, which granted is better than what Montgomery. Montgomery has had 3.3 yards per attempt, but last year when they converted Montgomery to running back, 77 rushes, so more than double the amount Jones has had just, you know, in the two games so far this year, and he was averaging 5.9 yards per attempt. I mean, Jones might be, say, better pure runner, but I'm not even entirely sure. What Montgomery has shown behind the line, vision, like I said, pass protection has gotten better, decisiveness when there's a hole, elusiveness, always falling forward, he initiates contact, he gets as many yards as he can. Montgomery is a very, very good runner. So I think based on what Montgomery showed last year, I don't think his slow start should be held against him. So I think when he's healthy, he should still be the number one back.
I love both points that were made, and I am going to have to give this one to Dusty.
Politics again.
Well, it's because we both missed last week, and I talked to John and told him that it was solidarity. So he had to...
Oh, so people who are not as dedicated to the show get preferential treatment. I see.
That's correct.
I get absolutely nothing for my loyalty and hard work.
That's right.
Hey, welcome to America.
Works, yeah.
Welcome to America, bud. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you get a chance to redeem yourself right away, Brian.
Well, that's good.
We're going to bring Jordan in against you, so you pretty much should win this. Jordan, are you ready? You ready to take on Brian?
Oh, always. Always.
Duh. I love you too when you match up against each other.
Easy out.
And boy do I have a banger of a question for you guys, and that question is simple: is Davante Adams the number one wideout in Green Bay right now? If the coin is heads, Jordan, Davante Adams is the number one wide receiver in Green Bay right now. Coin is in the air, and it is heads. Jordan, Davante is WR1.
Well, the only other guy that would really be in the conversation, in my opinion, would be obviously Jordy Nelson. But I think we've seen this year with Jordy that he's lost a little bit. He's lost a step. He is not the deep threat that he once was. His ability in the red zone is still such a huge weapon. We saw it this past Sunday, him catching a touchdown from Rodgers, and should have caught a 2-point conversion from Rodgers. Still a great weapon in the red zone, but if we're talking the entire game, the entire field, Davante Adams has become the favorite target of Aaron Rodgers. He has been targeted more times than any other receiver. In fact, 8 more times than the second best receiver in terms of targets. been targeted 39 times. He's been going at him in clutch moments. I mean, we saw him go at him with the same exact play to end the game against Dallas. Like, he trusts this guy. And Devontae has stepped it up big time this year. We're seeing some crisp route running that we haven't seen in a long time from any receiver, probably maybe since in terms of just speed along with his cuts, probably since Greg Jennings, maybe Donald Driver going back to that team. Jordy's ability on the sidelines is unmatched, but man, Devontae is he's becoming him. He's getting as good as Jordy has been in terms of sideline awareness. Even the first play of the game-winning drive from Rodgers, I mean, he goes to Devontae on a back shoulder. I mean, it's a vintage Jordy play. I mean, you could have put Jordy in that play and you would have believed it. It's the exact same thing. He's doing the same stuff with Devontae that he's been doing with Jordy for years. So at this point in time, I think Jordy is still a big weapon for this team, but Devontae is the guy for the Packers.
Brian, the rebuttal.
The Packers, and it's not even just at wide receiver, they don't really operate with a system where this guy's number one, this guy's number two. It all depends on the matchup. And this isn't to the extent that you never know who's going to put up numbers like the New England Patriots, where a guy can put up three touchdowns and then not play for 6 weeks. But, I mean, next week you could see Jordy Nelson go for 170 yards and three touchdowns, and we would have the same conversation in reverse. So there's just... it all depends on the matchup. There's no number one because this team doesn't operate that way. Jordan mentioned Jordy Nelson being the only one who could rival him. And I don't personally believe this way, but I know if you were to ask Rodgers or McCarthy, they would say Randall Cobb as well is their, you know, 1C, so to speak. So it really depends on the matchup. It really depends on the situation. You know, in the red zone, yeah, Devontae Adams is probably most important. Between the 20s, it's going to be all about Jordy Nelson. So, yeah, they don't operate with a number one, meaning Devontae Adams cannot be number one.
I mean, both extremely valid points, and I would love to... I would almost want to give this a tie, but that is absolutely no fun at all. And
there's no room for middle ground in the coin toss, man.
There is no room for middle ground, and I have to choose a winner. And I love, as I've told Dusty many a times, I just love numbers. Jordan brought numbers into the equation. So Jordan, you are the coin toss winner of this question.
I'm going to remember this, John. I'm going to remember this.
Never been more proud.
And Brian is very pissed off at me. It's fine though, guys. We're moving on to the next. We're
I'm
moving
updating
on to the
my
next
resume
question.
As we speak. I'm going to leave and Dusty, start my own Packer website.
Dusty, you are being brought in right now, and we're gonna switch. And this is gonna be against Jordan, and we're switching to the defensive side of the ball. And right now, the way I look at it, we have two underachieving players in our secondary. One of them being HaHa Clinton Dix, the other being Demaryius Randall. We saw Demaryius Randall have, he made some plays against Dallas. And going forward, between these two players, which one of these guys is more important to have turn their season around for the benefit of this defense? So if you think that HaHa Clinton Dix is more important, you're going to have heads, and it's going to go to Dusty. I worded that so well.
I think I got it.
So well.
I think I'm with you.
We got it. No.
You understand it. Heads is haha, and tails is going to be Clinton. Oh, my gosh. Haha
Take
is
two.
Heads. Demaryius Randall, tails. Coin is in the air, and it is tails. Dusty, Demaryius Randall is more crucial.
Yeah, I mean, having a corner with his abilities, with what he is capable of, with what he can do, would be huge. I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen. I haven't seen much on Kevin King. I know King suffered a concussion. I don't know where he's at in the protocol, if he's going to play. I mean, you never know how that's going to affect a guy, if he's going to miss any time at all. I mean, Devontae Adams had a head mashed in and played a week and a half later, and some guys will miss, you know, 4 weeks. I don't know. King has showed a lot, but, you know, he's a rookie. House has been fine, but he's house. Like, he's somewhat limited. Rollins has been an absolute train wreck. I love HaHa Clinton Dix. He struggled a bit. I don't think as much as probably what is being reported on, but they've got guys that can approximate what Clinton Dix can do. They got guys who can play the safety position. You can put Morgan Burnett back there. Bryce has been fine back there, like not great, but he's been fine. You've got pieces that can kind of replace some of what Clinton Dix gives you if Clinton Dix struggles, and you can put him a little bit towards the line. You can move him around a little bit. With what Demaryius Randall can give you out of that cornerback position, I mean, we're somewhat limited on talent in that position. And I think if Randall can turn a corner, and I just got done watching every snap of his this year. He has not been as bad as what a lot of people have thought that he has been. He's still a little lazy at times and still has mental lapses. And, you know, the touchdown a couple weeks ago in Chicago against the Bears was big because he got sent back, but he played fairly well in that game. But what he can give this defense, I think if Demaryius Randall plays to where he can play, he can make a huge difference on this defense. And if HaHa Clinton Dix struggles a bit, I think they've got people that can replace him a little bit, or not replace him, but at least not a gaping hole back there. So I'm firmly on the, I think Randall can make much more of a difference in this defense than HaHa Clinton Dix if they continue to struggle.
And Jordan,
you brought up the fact that you can put Morgan Burnett back in the safety position, or what Clinton Dix is doing. And I mean, he is a safety, but this year he really hasn't been. He's been more of a linebacker this year. So it's just a lot of the things you said in terms of Demaryius Randall, you can say for Clinton Dix. I mean, there's talent that you can substitute for Demaryius Randall as well. I mean, we got Kevin King, we've got Devon House, we've got also Josh Hawkins, which has not been given a lot of opportunities to play cornerback. With what we've seen HaHa Clinton Dix do over the past couple years, in terms of just his heavy hitting, just making plays around the line of scrimmage, his plays playing center field has been troubling to me. Even going back to the first series yesterday, you have Dak Prescott escape. I think it was on 3rd and 8. No, it was 3rd and 14. I think, and he just goes deep to Bryce Butler. I don't know what Clinton Dix is doing. I mean, just plays like that, and you can say the same thing about Randall as well. But Clinton Dix, I don't know, just he has more of an impact on the game, both in playing center field and with playing around the line of scrimmage, more so than Randall. So I think if Clinton Dix just becomes a guy that teams are scared to go over the middle of the field with, making deep plays because they know Clinton Dix is there and being opportunistic as he was last year, I think that makes our defense a lot more dangerous. I think we're going to be seeing more turnovers and just making our life a lot easier on the offense and scoring points and making it easier to win these games. We've had a couple just... I mean, we could easily be 2-3 right now without just a couple amazing games by our quarterback at the end of them. So we need better play from Clinton Dix. I think he's more valuable to the defense than Demaryius Randall.
Can I first off just say that I love being on this side because you three guys are seriously amazing at breaking down what happens. Even at my best, I'm still like way worse than Brian's worst. And
wait, are you saying that I'm the worst of us three? Like, are you just flat out saying that right now?
No, clearly. I'm saying that
because you picked that. My worst.
Yeah. He absolutely said that.
Brian, he didn't seem like Brian, he was trying to mask that.
Resume work. Okay, proficient in Microsoft Word, Excel, and PowerPoint.
The underlying
theme. I've seen your PowerPoint presentations, dude. I don't know if I'm gonna.
All right, I'll get that off of there. They'll just assume that I'm good at it. A real go-getter, high attention to detail,
tenacious.
None of those things are true. None of those things.
Back to my point. You guys are
face for radio.
You guys have seriously just every single question I pose. You guys have all made magnificent rebukes to each other and make great points. And I think Dusty wins this by selling me on the fact that I believe in Demaryius Randall now, and I believe it's been so difficult for me with Demaryius Randall as to how I feel, but when you said that you went through all the snaps that Demarius Randall has taken this year, and that you have broken it down and said that he's not actually doing that bad. Number one, I believe you, and number two, I really do hope
they've been alive.
It's possible. But I'm really hoping that he does turn around. And Clinton Dix is so valuable as well. And Jordan, you really sold him up too. But Dusty is the overall winner tonight. So congratulations, Dusty.
I'm a champion. Let me talk about how Clinton Dix for a second. On that specific play, as I said, 3rd and 14, it appeared as though Packers went cover two deep. And then they went just zone across the line watching the sticks, assuming that the Cowboys were not going to throw past the sticks. And so you basically had like a line of zone guys, say 8 yards deep, and you had two deep safeties, and the Cowboys sent three guys deep. And so you had Bryce Butler in the slot off the left, and then you had Dez Bryant on the outside on the left. Dez Bryant's running a go, Bryce Butler's running a post, and HaHa Clinton Dix kind of got stuck in between. So it was basically I can go with Butler and leave Bryant open, or I can go with Bryant and leave Butler open. And there was a little small hint of indecision there, but either way he was screwed. I think once Prescott bought time, he was kind of screwed no matter what he did, but he was stuck in between. He basically had two guys running opposite directions that he was responsible for, and he couldn't cover both of them. And he started close to the line. So they had this little deception thing they wanted to run. But all that meant was HaHa Clinton Dix, instead of reading the defense, is having to run back and then react to what the routes were. And so he was kind of a step behind to begin with based on where he was positioned, where the play called for him. And then you had more guys going out than what you had deep defenders, and he kind of got stuck. He didn't play it necessarily all that well, but he was kind of stuck in a terrible spot in there. I don't know that he could have won in that situation.
I'll concede the point.
I'll take that point.
Hey, Brian. Then.
It was now it's high. All right.
I won in the first place.
No, Jordan conceded it, and I claimed it.
I win.
I didn't do any no take backs, did I?
Hey, Brian, how's that resume coming along?
I'm trying to find a word to describe what I've done for this website, but, you know, I really just don't do much.
Hey, I will give you the word to describe what you're doing for this. Right now,
oh boy.
You are interview extraordinaire.
That's
and
true.
What you're about to do is you're about to interview Eric Thompson of the Daily Nordsman and SB Nation blog site. And we have interviewed Eric a few times. And Brian, I'm jealous of your opportunity to interview Eric.
You should.
And I hope it's a smashing success for you.
I'm sure it will be.
As I know it will be.
Yes, it will be. Thank you, John.
Without further ado, Brian Fonfara with Eric Thompson of the Daily Nordsman, SB Nation.
All right, guys, here with Eric Thompson of the Daily Nordsman. Eric, how you doing?
Doing pretty well, all things considered, outside of the soccer team absolutely falling apart and missing the World Cup entirely. It's weird to talk about the bright spot in my life being the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, let's get into it. First of all, thanks again for joining us again. This is... what, you're like 6th or 7th time on the show at this point?
Yeah, you guys keep on inviting me back for some reason, but it's always a pleasure.
Force of habit, I guess, more than anything. Right? All right, let's talk about that bright spot in your life and get to the Minnesota Vikings Green Bay Packers game coming up. If you could explain to me and the audience here, like we're a bunch of 5-year-olds, what in God's name is going on with your quarterback situation?
Well, it seems to vary by the hour in over the last several years. But as far as what we can gather from, you know, if you take Mike Zimmer at his word, it's tough too sometimes when it comes to injuries because he's very short and kind of doesn't really elaborate a lot. But anyways, I think, you know, he was Sam Bradford going into Monday night's game was medically cleared. He obviously gave the go-ahead. The knee was feeling better after missing the last 3 games. And it looked like immediately, it wasn't 100%. It wasn't even close to 100% because for those first 3 drives, Bradford, he was sailing passes, and when you can't really put all the pressure on the plant leg, which is what it looked like in his throws, that's what makes him makes your passes sail. He was inaccurate. It didn't look... I mean, every time they cut to him, it looked like he was starring in a hostage video. It really looked like he was just kind of out there. I don't know if he was just thinking too much about the injury, but he was obviously way off his game. And yet the Vikings kept on trotting him out there, maybe because the baseball score that they had, it was 3-2. But the defense was doing their own, and so and the referees helped out a little bit on a couple probably pretty questionable calls, especially that Jordan Howard touchdown that got called back. But they kept on trotting him out, and we talked a little bit before the we started recording here, just that sack that Bradford took with literally without getting touched by the opponent until he fell down. There was a sack before that where Akeem Hicks came and basically grabbed him by the shoulder, and Bradford just fell down. The next one was in Bears territory, and basically Pat Elflein, the center of the Vikings, got shoved back into Bradford, kind of bumped into each other, and Bradford literally just went to, just turned into a turtle and went down. So yeah. the knee was obviously in much worse shape. Zimmer today said that, you know, he re-aggravated something and it's kind of week to week, but from the things I'm hearing, kind of the rumblings, it might be one of those things where Bradford might be done for a pretty extended time, because if it hasn't improved at all over the past month and there is no, you know, new structural damage apparently to the knee, it just seems like it's not healing. So I'd be very surprised if you see Bradford at all on Sunday.
All right, and what's going on with Bridgewater? How far out is he? And when he is back, who, your gut feeling right now, who do you roll with?
Well, that's the literally millions of dollars for all parties involved question. He can't come back he can't start practicing until after week 6. So starting on Monday, he could technically jump back into practice. It remains to be seen exactly how the Vikings are going to put him back in. Again, this is less than 14 months removed from his knee basically exploding. And all signs out of Bridgewater's camp are that he's feeling good. He's been quoted himself saying, ready to go, that as soon as he can get activated from the PUP list, he'll be back and practicing. But it's tough because, you know, that's the kind of I tweeted something out a lot along the lines of last night, you know, I can't believe they rushed Bradford back when he wasn't ready. But hey, let's get excited for Teddy for rushing him back after a terrible knee injury. So
yeah,
it's a really tough situation, and it's going to, I mean, it might get kind of messy just because, of course, with someone like Bridgewater, who you hope can still become that franchise quarterback, or at least a dependable quarterback to take him on a deeper playoff run, just the fact that if he comes back and hurries, he has obviously a lot of financial incentive, because it still kind of remains to be seen if he's healthy and the Vikings try to toll his contract next year, it's going to be a big mess with the NFLPA, because, you know, that if he's physically able to perform and they keep him on that physically unable to perform list, I think that would be a violation. So, I mean, sorry to have such a long answer here, but I really don't know. I think as soon as Bridgewater, especially now with, it looks like Bradford is hurt for the foreseeable future, if Bridgewater's ready to go, I think obviously you give him the nod over Keenum. But I also think that Keenum has been playing decent enough where you don't have to rush either of the other options back. I don't think you can win a ton of games with Keenum, but he's also not going to throw a lot of games away either. And with how the Vikings defense has been playing, that might be good enough. I don't know if it'll be good enough on Sunday, but it'll be good enough to keep the team afloat until either Bradford or Bridgewater can come back 100%.
All right. Let's switch gears here, talk about the strength of this Vikings team being the defense, going up against the strength of the Packers being the offense. Both units playing exceptional football right now. What's your level of confidence in this defense going up against Aaron Rodgers and company?
Well, my level of confidence in the Vikings defense is extremely high, but when you throw that against Aaron Rodgers, even when you execute really well, even when you get past the offensive line and get to Rodgers, we've seen time and time again, we saw it plenty of times last week in that Dallas game, that Rodgers can just extend plays and make things happen. And so it's going to be one of those things where the Vikings obviously need to get pressure, and now with the Packers offensive line getting a little healthier, that task is going to be a little tougher. But I still think they're going to get pressure. It's just a matter of what they do with that pressure and how long they can remain in coverage and when those plays break down, because we've seen it, you know, time and time again, especially with Jordy Nelson against the Vikings. It seems like he always gets open for one long score every game. Mm-hmm. So it'll be, it's really strength against strength there. It's going to be a tough test on both sides, and I really like the fact that this game is in Minnesota, because that crowd, of course, always gets extremely hyped up, especially if the defense can make a couple big plays early on. But I could see it going either way right now, but it's really going to, you know, whoever executes better.
Awesome. So another thing that you could explain to me, like, I'm five, your running back situation. You lost Delvin Cook. The word looked like it might be Latavius Murray being the number one guy. McKinnon came in and had a big game. Is this a good enough combo moving forward for you to have a legitimate running attack?
Well, I think the ceiling is definitely lower without Dalvin Cook. I think just from the first few weeks that we did see with Dalvin Cook, he put up some great numbers. I think he was the second or third leading rusher when he did go down with that knee injury in the league. It's just he had so many almost big, huge runs combined with the good chunk runs that he did get. And just with how he had a couple drops early on in the season, but how he was getting involved in the passing attack. And his pass blocking was absolutely, I mean, that's one of those things that usually you don't expect a whole lot from rookie running backs. But or maybe it's just that it's such a contrast to what we used to have with Adrian Peterson, the complete lack of pass blocking there. But he was doing an amazing job there. He was really getting involved in all facets of the offense. That said, now it's kind of funny, you know, mentioned this earlier today on Twitter, just the fact that the Vikings basically, in that second half, when the Vikings actually started moving the ball and putting up points, it was with their third choice of quarterback in Case Keenum and their third choice of running back in Jerick McKinnon, because obviously the Vikings brought in Latavius Murray for a pretty good chunk of money, but he was hurt all of the preseason and offseason with that ankle surgery they had. And Murray himself, after the Lions game, said he really wasn't 100% yet on that ankle. He looked a little better, I thought, last night, but he just doesn't have that kind of explosion that Cook has. And McKinnon really, I mean, he's, overall, it's been kind of frustrating because we've seen flashes of this kind of play from McKinnon. He's super quick. If you give him some space out of the backfield, he can really do some damage. And he did that. He did so on Monday night. So if the Vikings can keep on coming up with creative ways to give him the ball in space, because he's just not going to be that traditional run him into the line for 20 carries kind of runner. Mm-hmm. But if they can get him some space and maybe do a little bit of, you know, the old, maybe the poor man's version of the old Giants thunder and lightning with him and Murray.
Sure.
You know, the running attack, and of course the offensive line is much improved over last year's dumpster fire, so that helps as well. So I think they can be adequate as far as being, I just think that the maximum of what they can do with that rushing attack has been lowered with Cook out for the year now.
All right. Vikings hosting Packers. This is a matchup that the Vikings won last year. How do you see this one going? And give me a final score prediction.
Well, I haven't workshopped my preview article yet, because I usually write those on Wednesday nights. And so I haven't done as much film review yet. I could say right now, just preliminary, I mean, the Vikings had to eke out a win over the Bears. I mean, with how poorly the offense played that first half against any other, you know, well, not maybe not any other team, but against several other teams, the Vikings are probably too far behind to win that game. But I think how the defense is playing and at home, I think it's going to be a really close game. Last year's game at the Metrodome, that week two game, was incredibly close. I just think with the matchups we've seen, you know, Trey Waynes was the hero of the week two game last year against the Packers, but he's been kind of a big lightning rod for a lot of Vikings fans' scorn, and justifiably so. He's been really good at stopping the run and not really good at too much else. So I could see the you know, Davante Adams having a pretty big day. And I think just with the Packers' offense getting healthier, it's going to be hard to keep them under wraps. But of course, if the Vikings can execute, get a couple turnovers, and Keenum can play, you know, well enough, I think they can keep it close. Right now, I'd probably, I mean, I'm, don't hold me to this yet, and I'm not just pandering to your guys' audience, but I think I'd probably be leaning towards a close Packers win, but I withhold the right to change that opinion until I actually post my article on Thursday.
Fair enough. All right, tell the people on where on the World Wide Web they can find you and your work.
Well, everything I write is at DailyNorseman.com, which is, of course, the Vikings SB Nation site. And you can find my usual smart-ass musings on Twitter. I am at Eric_J_Thompson. So those are the two main sources you'll find me.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Eric.
Thanks for having me on.
Splendid interview. I tried to roll my S right there, and it did not work at all.
I did not.
I thought your video was
I tried so hard to roll an S right there, and it was the worst thing I've ever done to date on this episode.
I thought your video skipped, or you were trying to eat Max Headroom. No. Like, I could not tell. I didn't know which one it was.
Oh, my goodness. Either way, what a great interview with Eric Thompson.
Oh my god, John broke himself.
Oh, I love it when that happens.
Technical difficulties.
As always, guys, after our beloved guest interviews, we always break down our side of the ball. The green and gold side, the good side, the Jedi side. And we are now going to go to Mr. Jordan Peck, who is going to deliver us the keys to victory this week. Jordan.
John.
Go.
Thank you.
Just do
it.
Thank
you. Oh, okay. I was waiting for your cue. All right. I got it. All right. The keys to the game, folks. Playing the Minnesota Vikings this week. First key. This was the troubling, one of the troubling parts of the game against the Cowboys. Was the third down conversions for the Cowboys. I looked at the game. I believe they went 7 of 13, the Cowboys did, against us on third down. That can't happen again against the Vikings. Gave the Cowboys a lot of extended drives that really shouldn't have been. Got to get the job done on third down. That's my first key. Got to make it tough for them on third down. Second key really comes down to who are the big playmakers on Minnesota's offense. And they actually have a few. With the way that Jerick McKinnon busted off a big run against the Bears this past Monday night, he's something we got to be worried about right now, just in terms of speed. It's one thing our defense has been infamous for lacking, is speed. We're faster this year for sure, but we just can't give up any big plays to him. Can't let Stephon Diggs get behind the defense, make big plays for them on that, for the receiving core. Also, Adam Thielen, who torched us last year in the Christmas Eve game in Lambeau, just can't let those guys make big plays against us. And the third key to the game, a lot of Rodgers going down, and a lot of Rodgers going down real easy. Some of these sacks that Rodgers has taken in even recent seasons and recent games has been him being, I guess you could say, overly patient with his receivers trying to get open, and he'll end up going down. It won't be because the line isn't giving him enough time. Some of it's been on Rodgers. A lot of the sacks that came against the Cowboys was the fault of the offensive line. It was not a banner day for Corey Linsley by any stretch. Lane Taylor definitely took a step back in pass protection. Justin McCray on the left side, too. It was not a good day for them. It showed our need to get David Bakhtiari back on that left side. It was not good. It was not good. Fortunately, Rodgers was able to see him so he could go down without taking too brutal of a hit. But, I mean, you take a sack for 10 yards, it's virtually a drive killer almost all of the time. You go from first and 10 to second and 20 or third and long, it's really tough to convert those. And the Vikings have pass rushers. With Everson Griffen, it's a good chance you could see that again. So we really need to get our offensive line healthy. And if we don't, then if for whatever reason Bakhtiari is not back, they just need to do a better job of keeping Aaron Rodgers upright and letting him make the plays that he's able to make, that we saw him make when they did give him time on this past Sunday. So those are my keys to the game for the Vikings.
And what is the final score prediction, Jordan?
Oh, I tell you what, I picked Packers over the Cowboys last week, and I don't want to say I didn't want to, but I was extremely nervous. I didn't feel good about picking the Packers to win.
And this is another, this is truthfully another one of those games. I don't think the Cowboys are better than the Vikings, but just having to go up to US Bank Stadium, I'm nervous. Again, I think it's going to be a close game, but I am going to go with the Packers again over the Vikings. I'm going to say Packers 28, Vikings 26.
And that's a Packers victory right there. Dusty, by the numbers.
Yeah, all right, so I was going to look at Viking stuff, and I still have some of that, but, I mean, the offense just looks different when Case Keenum is in. I was kind of poking fun at Case Keenum this past week because during the broadcast, like, Gruden said something about, is it Gruden? It was Sunday night. Yeah, I don't remember. It was Gruden. It was Gruden. Yeah, he said something like, oh, man, just, it's so good that you can just have someone like Case Keenum on your bench. And I thought that was just a ridiculous thing to say. Like he's still Case Keenum. And like he looked good, but I think that was only in relation to Sam Bradford because Sam Bradford looked like a man with not two functioning knees. And so Keenum was a step up. But I mean, as we saw this past week, you know, Prescott can move a little. Keenum's got some mobility. So I'm not necessarily scared of Case Keenum. But if that pass rush doesn't get home and he's able to get outside the pocket, I can see him hitting a few big plays down the field. So anyway, I kind of wanted to look at just Keenum offensive numbers as far as the passing game instead of just Vikings in general. So just throughout his career, Keenum in a Keenum outdoors has a QB rating of 72.9. In a dome, which, you know, is where they will be playing this next week, has a QB rating of 114.9. He hasn't played a ton of games. He's only got 134 attempts in the dome, but still, I mean, there's not a lot of guys that you can say don't perform better in a dome. But he can put up numbers, or he can put up some numbers. And so the defense is going to have to lock it down a little. And we were talking before the show, pass defense. What did we say? It's sixth pass defense, sixth in the league. The Packers this year.
Yeah.
I don't think they've given up a 300-yard game so far, maybe one. And Keenum, I don't think, is going to kill him, but Keenum can make enough plays, especially if the play breaks down. So just watch out for that. In terms of the running game, Vikings like to run up the middle. 34% of their runs so far have come just directly into the center of the line, and they average 4.2 yards per carry when they do that. Packers give up 4.8 yards per carry in the middle. Now, I haven't broken it down specifically. I assume that's skewed a little bit because Daniels has been out. But still, Vikings like to run up the middle, and they're good there. And so the Packers are going to have to look out for that. In terms of the Packers running game, Packers had their best as far as rushing to a zone this past week, rushing off left end. They ran for 47 yards off left end, and Aaron Jones was very good there. Vikings gave up 76 yards off left end last week, and that was tops for both of them. That was the worst zone that the Vikings have had defensively against the run so far this year, and that's the best zone that the Packers have had offensively this year as far as rushing. So if you're looking for Packers to pick up chunks or pick up big yards in the rushing game, look off the left end. That's where the Packers were very good there last week, and the Vikings were very bad there last week. And and score prediction. Hey, yes, I've got a score prediction. Hey, John.
Yes, sir, you do. Yes, sir, you do.
Vikings have a good defense, and while I want to, I think, I can't remember if I went big a couple weeks ago or not. I kind of started off with the Packers kind of scoring big, and then they kind of let me down a little bit. And the offense has been turning around a little bit more recently, but the Vikings defense is good. I have a hard time seeing the Packers putting up too many points against them this year. Top team so far this year put up 26 points, and that was Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh before Ben Roethlisberger turned into an 80-year-old man. And besides that, they've not given up more than 20 in a game. They gave up 19 to the Saints in Week 1, and the Saints have looked good this year. Bucks can put up points. Bucks put up 17 against them. So I think it's going to be a low-scoring game from the Packers' perspective. I do see, to Jordan's point, I see Rodgers going down from time to time. He's going to get hit. He's going to get sacked. Ultimately, I do think the Packers went out because I do believe they're the better team. But I'm going to go low. I'm going to go Packers. I'll go 21-17.
All right. And, Brian, what do you have to add to their thoughts? And what is your final score prediction?
I'm not as nervous as Jordan is because I just think we're playing the Vikings at a good time. Their quarterback position is just a massive question mark right now, and I know Dusty said that Keenum's been playing well in a dome, but he's still Case Keenum, and I think he's something that our defense can at least limit. You know, the way they look on offense right now is not great. They do have a very good defense, but our offense is also playing very, very well right now. So for me, I see it as a win, not a huge win, but not a squeaker like Jordan said. I'm going to say 24-13 Packers.
Okay, and I will do my best attempt at a Dusty by the numbers. And in the last 14 games, regular season games against the Vikings, the Packers have had 8 30-plus or more point games against the Vikings. So I am going to go high scoring in this game for the Packers. The Packers win 37-17 into just massive just domination. Duh.
All right.
As a Packers are used to. And with that being said, guys, we have done all of our due diligence in reporting about the green and gold, and we need to do our due diligence in reporting about ourselves in our final thoughts segment. Brian, report about yourself, please.
Okay, I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I'll do my best interpretation of that.
Thank you.
So my goal this year is to bring you back down to earth after wins and losses. So it was a win again this week, so I'm going to say two bad things and one good thing. Bad thing number one is more freaking injuries, specifically in the secondary. Just, I hold my breath at every play at this point, just assuming that somebody is going to go down with some kind of injury. And I feel like I'm usually right. We got a couple of the players back this week, and then a couple players that went out in this game came back, like Devon House, but Kevin King missed most of the game after having a really good start to it. It's just, oh my goodness, I'm over it. I'm ready for injuries to be done and players to start playing in the games again. The other bad thing on defense, and I think I even said it in last week's show, and then Dom Capers confirmed it after the game, that we didn't get home a lot on Dak Prescott and get sacks because the goal wasn't to sack him, it was to keep him in the pocket. And that's kind of what I figured they would do. That's the right strategy. But they failed. Like, he was still able to get out of the pocket. He was still able to scramble, get forward. He was still able to get his throws off comfortably. It was not a great thing to see. However, on the plus side, I will say this offense looks like it's ready to ball. Like, that's two straight performances by the offensive line that were better. I thought Lucas Patrick, honestly, looked better at left guard than McCray did. So that'll be a question mark going forward. If Bakhtiari misses any more time, does Patrick take that spot back? Because that, oh my goodness, the middle of our line just looked terrible. Like, that center-left guard combination just did not look good. There were... Irving was able to split through there too many times. But I did think once again that the tackles looked strong, and overall it was a good performance by the offensive line. And this offense just looks ready to ball. I'm going to go negative with one more thing, not football related. The USA was just kicked out of the World Cup after another terrible performance and a couple wins that they couldn't afford to happen outside of their control. And I am devastated right now that there will be no USA in the World Cup next summer. And I have a couple ideas of who I'll cheer for instead, but man, that will not be the same. And I am just really bummed. It has not happened in my lifetime that the USA was not in the World Cup, so I am not even going to know what to do with myself next summer. I'm really sad.
You'll still be watching it?
I'll still be watching it. Belgium looks like a fun team to watch, so I might be cheering for them. Basically, anybody but England would be fun to watch. So there's a lot of options on who I can cheer for. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at @PTTF_Brian. If you look...
He's so sad.
If you look really soon, you'll see a whole lot of negative tweets about the U.S. men's soccer team. If you wait a little while, those tweets will go back to football, so don't worry about that. You could also find us on Twitter at @PTTF_podcast, and as I say every week, don't forget to check out the other podcasts at packtothefuture.com, as well as everything else that goes out at packtothefuture.com, because it's all just perfect. So
amen.
Go check it out.
Amen. And Brian, I'm sending you a big air hug right now.
I need like 12 of them, dude.
You have it. Sent.
Can you send me an air spooning session? Because I could really use to be spooned by you right now.
Let me work on it. Let me work on it, and I'll send it to you quick. All right,
please do.
There's no better places to spoon than the bleachers of Lambeau, where we will be.
We will be. In a couple weeks. Guys, so. Like we're like a week and a half away. There's only one more dumb game that we have to watch from our dumb living rooms at our dumb houses, and we get to watch one at Lambeau.
That just means one less week of me hearing my dad complain about Clinton Dix the whole game, which is going to be amazing to get away from.
One of us will fill that void. Don't worry. Sit next to me, just to make you feel better, I'll complain about Clinton Dix all day, all game long.
There you go, Dan. You got your shout out. Now you can live the rest of your life very happy.
I probably won't mean anything that I say, but you'll at least get like the lip service for it. So,
Dusty, what are your final thoughts?
All right, man, I got three. So I missed last week, and I was very, very excited to find that Jordan carried on the cheapest ticket tradition. So
he did
Jordan,
well.
You're my boy.
Thank you for that.
You're my boy,
Thank
Dusty.
You for that, brother. I've got two. One is $3 more than the other, but it seems more interesting. So the cheapest ticket you can get this week is Tampa Bay at Arizona. Both those teams are not great, but they're both not great in entertaining ways. So that still could be an entertaining game. Arizona Stadium looks pretty baller. It's $19.
But Arizona just traded for Adrian Peterson.
Those tickets
are going to skyrocket, man.
Yeah, you can see. I checked them right before the show, though. Like, they had traded for them already, so they were probably like $11.
They're probably on a one-day delay.
They shot up to $19.
That must be it.
So, yeah, you can watch Adrian Peterson sit on the bench and yell at his coach, which would be just thrilling.
Did you see Chris Johnson of the Arizona Cardinals, running back for the Cardinals, tweeted out this week or last week or something, like in all caps, that Adrian Peterson needs to be given more touches. Then Arizona trades for him and cuts Chris Johnson.
That's
so sad.
The universe works against you.
That's sad.
Oh my goodness.
That's sad and funny because I'm laughing. the second game is only $3 more. Los Angeles at Jacksonville for $22. Now, man, listen. Blake Bortles is still a pile of human garbage. I think he attempted 15 passes last week, and he like 90 yards, and they still won because Ben Roethlisberger is an old man, and Leonard Fournette's awesome. But that defense is legit, and they got a good running back. And I never thought I'd say this. Jared Goff looks good. Like he looks like that. They're using Tavon Austin. Like guys, listen. You think maybe the thing was Jeff Fisher just wasn't a very good coach?
He's terrible.
I'm just throwing it out there that maybe he was not a good coach. I'm not ready to say Jared Goff is amazing, but that offense looks better than it has. They lost this past week, but Goff just threaded the needle into the end zone. I would have been the game-winning touchdown that was just dropped. It was just split coverage, just absolutely perfect. Anyway, that could be an entertaining game. So that's the Rams going to Jacksonville for $22. That's not terrible. All right. So there's your cheapest tickets. Number two, I'm talking about scary movies, guys. It's October.
Awesome.
I'm drinking a pumpkin beer that apparently has like habanero peppers in it, it's not bad. And I want to watch scary movies and. So here's one I want to talk about. I want to talk about Psycho 2. Now, Psycho, the original Psycho, is one of the best movies ever made. Horror movie, not horror movie, whatever. Just one of the all-time greatest movies. It's amazing. I watch it multiple times a year. It's incredible. Psycho 2, not talked about as much, but still incredible. It takes place after Norman Bates gets out of the psych ward. He goes back to his hometown for some reason, where everyone hates him because he's crazy and, you know, mummified his mother and killed people. And he's working at a diner, and there's this whole thing about, like, is he crazy or is someone playing a trick on him? And there's a cop played by, what's the fat guy from NYPD Blue, Dennis Franz or whatever? Mm-hmm. He's in it, and he's just antagonizing him for some reason, even though you know he's a crazy guy that has killed people. Like, he's still just antagonizing him at every turn. It's terrific, and Anthony Perkins is amazing, and it does not come close to Psycho. But as far as the sequel, it's super entertaining. If you've not seen Psycho 2, please watch Psycho 2, and just rewatch Psycho. Just make a night of it. Watch Psycho, watch Psycho 2. They're both good for entirely different reasons. So there's your scary movie of the week. My last one, last weekend, not this past weekend, the week before, I went to Scarefest, which I talk about every year. It's a horror convention here in Kentucky. I've moved, so it's a little further. It's 20 minutes from me. It's just a blast. I haven't written it up yet, but I'm going to be writing a post on it. Man, just talking to people down there and taking pictures of people all dressed up. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I met a friend down there and just kind of walked around, and I got to see Barry Bostwick just talking to people, and he was selling just autographed pairs of his underwear, which absolutely killed me. I was walking down an aisle. I was walking down an aisle, and I feel this hand pushing me out of the way. And I go to turn around to be like, "Hey, buddy, what's your problem?" And it's Danny Trejo. It's just Danny Trejo just pushing past me on his way to his table. And that dude's like 5'1", but like just almost killed me by looking at me. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I say this every single time. Man, if you've not been to horror convention or comic convention and you've got one locally, please go to one, like just one day, if nothing else. It's worth your time just to sit around and people watch and just talk to people at the booths, man. Everyone's super passionate about what they do. I met a ton of great people a couple weeks ago, and just bonkers great. So, man, that was like one of my favorite times of the year. But yeah, if you've got one by you, just go ahead and do it, man. It's just a ton of fun.
I need to stand up for Danny Trejo here for a second. He's 5'6", Dusty.
There's no way that's true. Would you see that?
I googled him.
There's no way that's true. He came up to my belly button. There's no way that's true.
I'm about as devastated as Brian is about the USA not making the World Cup as finding out that Danny Trejo's career has resorted to doing Sling TV commercials and going to bar conventions. Seriously.
IMDb says he's 5'5¾".
Nah, that can't be true. I thought he was like as tall as my wife.
CelebrityState.com says he's 1.68 meters.
Oh yeah,
not a real unit of measurement.
12 inches,
not a real unit of measurement.
That's 27 inches. If you don't know, no,
everything I'm seeing says either 5'6" or 5'5¾". Man,
look, maybe I'm 6'4" and I don't know it.
That's quite possible.
Maybe that's the problem here. I just don't know.
Maybe you're just an elitist.
That's possible. That's possible. I thought it was for half a second. I was like, I could take him, and I was like, I could not.
He's like 84 years old and 5'6". He'll take you.
Yeah, he's doing terrible things to me.
What does your Twitter say your height is, Dusty, and what is your Twitter handle?
I don't have my Twitter height in my handle, but I should probably do that. My Twitter handle is at Dusty Evely. I created another one as well, where I just post all of my football gifs, so if you want just a ton of football gifs, and that's all you want, no other boring stuff about my kid or my family or, you know, life nonsense, it's all 22 talk. It's just a whole bunch of gifts. That's all you get.
And they're good.
They're great. Could you add some nonsense to that? Because I kind of like your nonsense.
I could try, but I have a feeling that's not my brand over there, Brian. I'm building a brand. my brand over there is zero nonsense.
I can't ask you to do any more. You do almost everything on the Pack to the Future site account.
I'm so tired, Brian.
And your All-22 account. You write two big articles a week.
Have a horror account I run as well.
You're like the third or fourth best contributor to this podcast. Like, man, you got a lot going on.
Fourth, it's fourth.
Speaking of brander extraordinaire, Jordan, what are your final thoughts?
Well, in regards to the World Cup, I was looking up the list of teams that are in the World Cup.
Why are we going to talk? You brought up more.
Well, I know, but this is I'm already moving on to like who I'm going to root for now. So, because but I think I'm looking at this list. I'm pretty sure that Iceland is already in. So I think I'm going to go Iceland as the team.
Oh.
Basically, me and my brother were just texting about this.
I'm basically torn between like Poland because that's my motherland, or Belgium because they're way more fun to watch than Poland is.
Could also go Costa Rica. There were a lot of Columbus Crew players on Costa Rica.
Ugh.
My MLS team. So that could be a reason as well.
It's France. France is the winner of the World Cup.
France does have a really good team.
They do. So
That's one final thought. And the second final thought, you guys already actually mentioned it during the final thoughts, but I was upset to see that Adrian Peterson had been traded away from the Saints. I was excited to hopefully see him in uniform when we were there in Green Bay, and that has been taken away from me.
Were you serious?
That being said, yeah.
Why? Yeah.
Well, now who am I excited to see on the Saints?
Drew Brees?
No.
You were more excited to see Adrian Peterson than Drew Brees? Oh, yeah. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, there's a lot more history with the Packers with Adrian Peterson. It would have been cool to see us shut him down.
Are you on meth right now?
Yeah.
I don't understand why this is so ridiculous.
No, I'm with Jordan. Yeah, we go up there and we see Peterson get like 8 carries and he averages like 0.5 yards per carry. That's awesome.
I'm not excited to see him go off for 200. I'm excited to see us shut him down because he's not good anymore.
Yeah.
I'm happy to never ever be in the same building as Adrian Peterson. So
I feel like I should sell my ticket. I'm gonna go on StubHub after this.
Yeah, please do, so I don't have to be anywhere near you.
We'll see you guys later.
One of my favorite things was the end of the I forget what year it was, maybe like 2014, where we played the Vikings in the last game of the regular season, then played them in the round right after that, and in the playoffs, and I think Miller Lite had a sign outside Lambeau that said, "Hey Adrian, this is what 9 yards looks like." And it was like 9 yards away from like setting the rushing record. It was just the biggest diss ever to like one of the most hated teams the Packers have.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was the Webb game, right? That was the Joe Webb playoff game.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
The Joe Webb playoff game.
They've had some dandy QBs in Minnesota, but Jordan, where are you at on the Twitter spec?
You guys can find me on Twitter at jgpeck41.
And as always, guys, I will have the shortest final thought, and it's always just one, sometimes two, but my only final thought that I have tonight is on Thursday last week, I got to see one of my all-time favorite bands that I have never been able to see live, and it was none other than Explosions in the Sky. And
ooh.
I kid you not, it was the best concert I have ever been to. They played the Friday Night Lights theme song, and I could have cried. It was so beautiful. And it was just 2 hours of pure instrumental glory and pure bliss nonstop, and I just could not be more thrilled to have crossed that band off of my list of ever growing bands that I need to see live. And I wake up to them every morning and drink coffee, and it gets me just in a spectacular mood to just dominate the day. And it was a very awesome and just a beautiful experience. So I was very happy to have seen them live. And if you're listening to us, Explosions in the Sky, you guys freaking rock. And who else rocks? You guys rock for continuing to listen to us jabronis try and bring you the best Packer coverage we can possibly do week in, week out. We love y'all. Continue to listen and support. Buy a couple shirts from us. They're awesome. I'm gonna get one this week before we go to Lambeau. And we hope to see some of you guys there. Don't forget that is happening. Check out the other podcasts. Check out our content at packtothefuture.com. In closing, Vikings week, go Pack, go. Let's keep the train rolling.